This morning is a follow-on from last week, loving your enemies. God has this for us this morning. And it's an important subject that we need to be aware of. And that is when love grows cold. Now that's in the Bible. When love grows cold. Go with me to Matthew chapter 24 this morning. We're going to have a look at this. What happens when love grows cold? Because it's pretty evident, excuse me, from what we've been studying in the last 7 or 8 weeks, that love is critical to this walk of faith. If we're going to walk the walk of faith, the Christian faith, we have to love according to God's method of loving, not the world's. So we go to Matthew chapter 24, and of course, the disciples ask him questions about certain future events. And just before we start with verse 1, in this chapter, the Spirit of God is revealing a sequence of events that are coming in the earth. In fact, Jesus is foretelling future events in the earth. Now, in a lot of cases, those events are still to come to pass. They're future events. So he says this in verse 1 of Matthew chapter 24, and I'm reading for the King James. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him to show him the buildings of the temple. Jesus said to them, "See you not all these things? Verily or truly I say to you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down." So you're looking at this magnificent temple here and all these buildings, they're all going to be nothing. They're all going to come to ruin. He's speaking futuristic. He's telling of things that are going to come. Verse 3, "And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, 'Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of your coming and the end of the world?'" So when are these going to happen, and what's going to be the sign of your return and the end of the world? So obviously Jesus has spoken to them about these sort of events that will come to pass. They're asking, well, when is this going to happen? Now Jesus responds this way. He says this in verse 4. Jesus answered and said to them, "Take heed that no man deceive you." Now I just want to stop there for a moment. That word "take heed" means beware. It says take heed that no man deceives you. You might think, yeah, but hang on, the devil's the deceiver. Yes, he is. But guess who he uses? People. He's a deceiver, but he uses people because he brings false teachings and false prophecies that don't align themselves to the Word of God. Now, what makes it easy for the devil to deceive people is when they don't know what the truth of this book is. So for those that don't read the word, you're a very easy target. Very easy to be deceived if you don't have the word rich in your heart. That's why we teach it. That's why I'm constantly encourage you as a pastor, spend time in the word. Because he says, take heed or be aware that no man deceives you, because men are going to speak things. Now, it's a choice to listen to the word of the world or the voice of God. That's a choice. So he says, you take heed. Then he says this, "For many shall come in my name," not some, "many, saying, 'I'm Christ,' and shall deceive some?" No, many. Remember, these are things that are unfolding. And how do they do that? Because it says, "Many shall come in my name." Look at the next word, "saying." Many shall come in my name saying. They're going to speak things. And they're going to speak things that are designed and aligned to satanic agenda, not the kingdom of God. They're going to say things that deceive, and many will be deceived because of the sayings. So we don't want to listen to the voice of the world. I say that a lot, but it's a choice not to, because the world's going to spin truth. If you think that the world is going to promote the gospel of Jesus, think again. That's not the devil's agenda. His agenda is to twist the truth and to make sure that you believe a lie. That's why if we don't know the truth, how can we discern the lie when it comes? He then says this, and you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. Is that happening? Yeah. See that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. There have been wars for centuries. Now he says, don't be troubled by them. Now that word troubled, don't be frightened, don't be alarmed, or don't cry aloud and wail. He's saying, don't be troubled by the things that you're hearing, because these things must happen first. Now, if Jesus says, don't be troubled, can I suggest don't be troubled? You give that care to him. There are things at the moment in the earth that are concerning in the natural, but we're not to be moved by that. He says, don't be troubled about these things. Don't get frightened. Don't get anxious. Don't, you know, cry out aloud and wail and moan and gripe. Don't do that. Trust him in faith. Keep reading. For nations shall rise against nations. Is that happening? Kingdom against kingdoms. Now, you might think kingdoms against kingdoms. Yes, kingdoms on earth, but there's also kingdoms in the realm of the spirit. You've got the kingdom of God and you've got the kingdom of darkness. There are kingdoms clashing right now in this earth. Have been for centuries. The kingdoms are clashing. There is a fight for souls of men. Satan doesn't want people to be redeemed. He doesn't want the gospel preached. He doesn't want you to know that there's a loving, merciful God that wants you free. He wants you to bow to him, to believe a lie, and go to a Christless eternity. There's a clash of kingdoms. When Christianity is rising up, you're going to get governments rise up against it. We see that every time. We see it in this country. You say, what do you mean in this country? Oh, yeah. Listen with ears. Listen, what's going on? They want to stop the voice of truth. Kingdoms are clashing. Jesus says it. There's going to be nations rise against nations, kingdoms against kingdoms. Let's keep reading. And there's going to be famines. Are there famines? Constantly. Pestilence? Well, COVID was an example of that. Earthquakes in different places. He's saying all these things, there's a sequence of events that are occurring in the earth. And he's saying, don't be troubled about it. Because when you read the news feed every morning, you could get troubled if you didn't know this book. But he says, don't be troubled. Keep reading. All these are the beginnings of sorrows. Travail. It's like birth pains. You know, before the woman gives birth, there's this travail, there's birth pains before there's a deliverance. That's what this is. We're living in the birth pains. There's a groaning of this earth because of sin. They're birth pains. Now, what we're about to read next, we need to have ears to hear. Because what Jesus is about to tell us is for us, the believer. Keep reading with me. Then they shall deliver you up to the to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and shall, you know, be hated, and you'll be hated of all nations for my name's sake. So he's talking about followers of him. He's not talking about the ungodly here. He's saying they're going to deliver you up. There's going to be some that they're going to give their life because of their faith in God. Is that happening today? Yes. You betcha it is. Christianity is a very, very persecuted faith throughout the world. People are giving their lives for their faith because they're not going to bow their knee and turn away from their Lord God Almighty, because the other side of this is glorious. Amen? It's glorious. Why would you want to ever fear death? Death is your arrival. Death is simply going home to be where you're meant to be. This isn't your home. This is a temporary place so we can be light in darkness and salt in the earth, so we can glow in the dark for the world to see a loving Father. That's why we're here. This isn't home for us. Don't get comfortable with this earth. Don't get caught up. That's why mammon, the spirit of mammon, the spirit of riches, people get so caught up with it, but it's all going to be gone when this earth, you know, is consumed with fervent heat. This is not our home. This is not where we belong. So we know he's talking about believers because for my name's sake, he's talking about followers. Verse 10, and then shall many be offended. Many shall be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. I want you to see something here. You've got believers, people that start getting concerned about the things that are happening around them and they start getting offended. Now, offense is to entrap, to trip up, to stumble, or to entice to sin. It's an apostasy or a displeasure. It's a falling away. That's what that is. Now, if you just hold your place here for a moment, because we're coming back to go just to the next gospel, Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4, very quickly, a few pages forward. On what I'm reading from verse 16 of the parable of the sower. And it says this in verse 16 of Mark chapter 4. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who, when they have heard the word, immediately they receive it with gladness. But they have no root in themselves, and they endure for a time. Afterwards, when affliction or persecution arises for what? The word's sake, they are offended. They're offended. So persecution arises for the word's sake. People get offended. And what is it? They fall away. So what he's saying is, look at it again, verse 10 in Matthew 24, then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and they will hate one another. Where's the love? Where's the Christian love that we've been talking about for the last 7 weeks? Something's gone awry. There's been a failure here and it's a catastrophic failure. You get off the love walk and we're going to see what the outcome is. This is important for us, church. If God has ever spoken a message that's significantly important for this church, it's this morning. It's this morning. Hear it. And then he says this. And many, now this is interesting. Now, when people start hating, it creates a lovely, fertile environment for what? False prophets, false teachers, accusers of the brethren. They rise up. When you've got a hate environment, you've got a very fertile environment for Satan to operate in his dark kingdom. Now, look at it. This is a sequence. It's written in the word for us. Many false prophets, verse 11, shall rise and shall deceive many. Followers. See, when you hate, when you get out of the love walk, when you're offended, your heart's closed to truth. Your heart's close to the truth. When you get out of this love walk and out of the covering of love, your heart's close to the truth. And if our heart's close to the truth, we're in darkness. We don't want that. So we want to keep our hearts open. So he says, many false prophets shall rise, I shall deceive many. And because of iniquity, and that word, you know, iniquity is violation of the law, wickedness, unrighteousness, sin. Because of iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall grow cold. There it is. Can you see the sequence of events? There's offense. Hatred develops in the heart. There's false teachers. There's false prophets. They're spinning their lies and the love of many will grow cold. That word love is the word agape, the God love. It's the only time it's used in the Gospel of Matthew. The only time that word is used in the Gospel of Matthew is there. That means it's referring to the church. The agape love can only apply in the church because only the believer has the agape love on the inside. So when he says agape, love, the love of many shall grow cold, he's not talking about the world's love, phileo, he's talking about the Christian. He's talking about the believer, the follower, the one who's offended because of my namesake. The world's not offended for Jesus. Think about this. The world doesn't care. The world blasphemes that name. They use that name in ways that to us are offensive and blasphemous. The world doesn't care. The world isn't offended because of the sake of Jesus and the name of Jesus. They're not offended. But people that have walked with him can be. They believe a lie. And it says, the love of many shall grow cold. Jesus is prophesying things that are coming at the end of the age. It's going to be a dark period. What we're seeing now is the beginnings of the sorrow period, and it's going to follow a trajectory which must come and end in this. You know, it's that word apostasy, as I was saying to you before, you know, Matthew's speaking of an apostasy that is coming upon the church, the abandonment of their faith. That's what apostasy is. It's an abandonment of something that you believe. Well, I did believe, but I'm out of here. I can't tolerate all this. If you're a loving, merciful God, why would you let all this suffering happen in the earth? Do you know there's a verse of scripture, and I shared this with somebody recently. They asked a similar question, and it was in Proverbs 29, verse 2. It said, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. When the wicked bear rule, the people mourn. I want you to think about nations at the moment that are coming under horrendous, you know, problems and treatment and fraction and war and all those things. Who's leading them? When the righteous in authority, the people rejoice. When the wicked bear rule, people mourn. Wicked leaders create trouble for those under them. Read the word. Let the word speak for itself. Let the word guide us. You know, rather than sort of trying to pass judgment on something through natural eyes. When wicked leaders rule, people are going to mourn. It's going to attract demonic things in that nation or in that city or in wherever they're ruling. It can even be in a marketplace where you've got wicked people in rule. It creates problems. So what is he saying? The love of many will grow cold. That's because there's offense, there's now hatred, and of course there's now false prophets and false teachers, and iniquity will abound, love of many grows cold, but he that endures to the end, the same shall be saved. So we know it's talking about the believer. He that endures. How do you endure? Stay in the love walk. Stay in the word of God. Don't get caught up in the things of the world. You know, you can go out there all you want and chant and carry on about why you think something's not right. But what's the word got to say about it? What's the Spirit of God saying to you about it? Because that's the way the world operates. You know, they don't like something, so they all just gather en masse and they chant and they speak and they have an opinion about everything. This is the only opinion that should be important to the Christian. This is the only one. And the believer who's been led by the Spirit of God will know what to do and what to say and how to say it. Not just what to say, but how to express something. When the Spirit of God is leading and guiding you, it's always going to be a love response. It's not going to be a hate response, but it's going to be a love response, which means it's going to be a just response. That's how he wants us to be. Don't just follow the world's way every time. Oh, I think that's a really good idea. I agree with them. We should stand up and speak about that. Listen to the Spirit of God. Jesus did not rise up every time the Romans, with their occupation, did something that upset the disciples. Study the Gospels. He didn't rise up every time and say, you're right, boys, let's go and sort that out. Let's go fix Herod right up now. Let's raise up an insurrection against Herod. How dare he kill my cousin, John? How dare he do that? What did Jesus do? He went in the wilderness, he prayed, he sought the Lord, and he came out and he had compassion on the multitudes. And what do? He fed them all. That's love. That's how love responded to murder. That's how love responded. Love covers. Jesus is, you know, he's God. You know, he revealed the Father. His life was revealing the Father's love. And that's what he wants us to do, reveal the Father's love. So we know there's going to be prophets flourishing and many will be deceived. The love of many shall grow cold. And we know that word agape, only once used in the Gospel of Matthew. An offended heart will produce hate, not love. An offended heart will produce hate, not love. So we don't want offense. We want to remove that. Remember Jesus said, you know, offense will come, but woe to them in whom it comes. Woe to them. Because an offended, wounded spirit is hard to correct. Don't hold offense. Don't hold unforgiveness in your heart. Stay in a right place with God. Satan controls you once you step out of love. Some might want to write that down. Satan controls you once you step out of love. Remain in the secret place of God's protection. Stay connected to the vine. He says, I'm the vine, you're the branch. As long as you stay connected to me, you're going to bear fruit. Now, it's either going to be good fruit or it's going to be unrighteous fruit. Unrighteous fruit means you're not connected to the vine of love. But good fruit starts with love, joy, peace, goodness, temperance, faithfulness, self-control. So, you know, the fruit of righteousness always begins with love. It's everything. It's key to everything we do in this walk. When it said, you know, that many would be deceived, that word deceived means to roam from truth, to go astray. It means to err, to be seduced, to wander or be out of the way. That's what that seduction is, to be out of the way. So that apostasy, he said, the love of many will grow cold. That means they're going to turn away. But not this church. Not this church, because we know truth. And like Jesus said, we're not to be troubled about these things. We're to stay connected to him at all times. Now, go with me to John 6. I want to show an example of this in John 6. Even during the ministry of Jesus. And if you study John 6, this is where Jesus spoke about, I'm the bread of life. And of course, he said some things that were very hard for the natural ear to hear, because he wasn't talking about natural things. He was introducing spiritual truths, but they couldn't receive it. They didn't understand it. And I want you to see what the result was. And it wasn't good for many. Reading with me from verse 60. Many, therefore, of his disciples, when they heard him, this, said, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? That means who can understand or perceive. How many times did Jesus say, he that has ears to hear, let him hear. He that has ears to hear or hearts to understand, let him understand. He says, this is a hard saying. What do you mean, eat your flesh and drink your blood? Well, we know he's not talking about cannibalism. He's talking about a spiritual truth, a spiritual analogy. I am the bread of life. They would have understood that when, you know, they thought about the manna that was provided to the Israelites in the desert. The manna came from heaven. It was a provision they had every day for 40 years, and it was perfect food from heaven. No wonder they were all healthy for the whole time they were there. But he's now saying, I'm the bread of life. I'm now the bread of life. There's something new coming. That manna, it's gone. But I'm eternal. Said, no, we can't understand that. Then it goes on to say this. When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at him, he said to them, does this offend you? Offend you? See, you get murmuring about the things of God, there's a high probability there's offense. Be cautious with that. You get murmuring about things. Oh God, I'm gonna happen with this, I'm gonna happen with that. How come you? How? There's a high probability that there's offense in your heart. Seek the Lord about it. Now, the reason why we're teaching this is a mature church. We can receive this. This is not easy, but we need to receive this, because this is a building block for what God has for us in the days ahead, because he wants his church to operate in power and authority in what's coming. And as long as I'm pastoring this church is going to be ready and equipped. Not just ready, but equipped. He then goes on to say this. What? And if you shall see the Son of Man ascending upon where he was before? So he throws that at them. It is the Spirit that quickens. The flesh profits nothing. There it is. He's now bringing them back to a spiritual truth. It's the Spirit that quickens. The flesh profits nothing. profits nothing. And then he says this, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. You need to eat my body and drink my blood. The words I'm speaking to you, they're spirit and they're life. They're not natural. The flesh profits nothing. It's not about me. It's about the spiritual words that I'm declaring. It's about this living book. You say, oh, if only Jesus was here. He is. He is. Every time you open it up, you're listening to the wonderful words of the Master. He is the Word of God. He was from the beginning, He is now, and He will be for eternity. Jesus is the Word, and He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He will never change, nor will this book. So we know that the love of many are going to grow cold. There's going to be wars. There's going to be rumors of wars. There's going to be pestilence. There's going to be famines. There's going to be hatred. There's going to be false prophets and false teachers. But those that endure to the end shall be saved. That means you stay on this no matter what. That's the cost. You know, didn't the Bible say that, you know, if you're going to build a tower, you need to make sure that you count the cost for those tradies here, and those builders and those that manage projects, you count the cost before you start. Jesus said, are you willing to count the cost? There's a cost for following him, people. You know what it costs us? Everything. But what do we get in response? Everything. We get the kingdom. We're the heirs of the kingdom. We're not sub-heirs. We're joint heirs with who? Jesus. What do you mean joint heirs? Are you saying that what Jesus has, I can have? Yes. Who dares believe that unless you read Romans 8 and you make that truth your truth? If you don't believe it, you won't have it. If you don't believe Jesus is a healer, you'll never get healing. Don't worry about it. If you don't believe he's a baptized in the Holy Spirit, you'll never speak with tongues and prophesy. If you don't believe that he wants to raise you up out of financial, you know, a curse and prosper you in every area of your life so you can advance the kingdom, then you won't walk in it. What are you willing to believe? That's what this is about. That's what this church is about. Are you willing to believe God at his word? You do. You walk in it. You come too late to tell me that he doesn't heal, he doesn't deliver, he doesn't bless and he doesn't prosper. You've come too late. Too late. He can't help himself. He loves to prosper and bless his children. Now, I know some of you think, just money, money, money. It's got nothing to do with money. Money's so low on the pecking order. He wants to prosper you in every area of your life, spirit, soul, body, you know, body, financially, relationally, socially, every area. He wants you to be the preeminent one that operates in this earth. Why? He wants you to be the light that is glowing. They're not coming to you broken. Listen, people, they're not coming to you broken. The broken are not coming to the broken. The broken are going to come to those that have it together. Now, I'm not saying we've got it together because of us. We've got it together because we've got the living God in us. Amen. That's why they're coming. That's why they're drawn to you. What is it about you that draws people? Because they see something in you that they haven't got. They can't have it because they're not saved. But it's in you and it's coming out of you. That's the love of God. And the broken and the, you know, the disenfranchised, those that are struggling are going to be drawn to the love that's in you. That's how this works. That's why we're not in heaven yet. He needs his church out there. But if the church cower, if the church of Jesus Christ bows its knee to the ungodly, if we draw back because, oh, it's all too much for us, then what hope have they got? They got none. We're not going to draw back. We're not going to draw back as some do to perdition, the Bible says in Hebrews. We're not going to draw back, but we're going to go forward for the saving of the souls. And then it says, you know, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of what we can't see. Faith is evidence, whether you can see it or not. Don't ever let your feelings determine whether you've got something from God, because they'll lie to you. The word says it, believe it. That's faith. Anything outside of that is not the kingdom of God. That's the natural. Remember, Jesus said, it's the flesh profits nothing. Nothing. His word is spirit and life. Let's keep reading. But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew, verse 64, from the beginning, who they were that believed not and should betray him. And he said, therefore say unto you that no man can come to me except it were given to him of my Father. For that, from that time, Many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Apostasy. Now, have you noticed, what's that verse numbered? Just coincidentally? 666. Just coincidentally. No, I'm not making anything out of that, but I just found it interesting that that particular verse which says that they followed Jesus no more happens to be, you know, John 666. Maybe God's trying to get something across to us. I don't know. But it's not, I don't want to make that doctrine because it's not. I'm just making a point. It stood out to me that that verse 666 said that they followed him no more. Turning away, a falling away. Why? They got offended. They didn't understand. You know, persecution, affliction, persecution arises for the word's sake. They're offended. They didn't understand. So they said, well, I understand. I'm going to walk away. How sad is it? Precious Christians today, something's preached in the pulpit. Well, I didn't like that. They walk away. Without saying, Spirit of God, are you speaking to me? Was that right? And if it is, I want you to show me. If it's right, the Spirit of God will show you. If I'm wrong, the Spirit of God will show you too. He'll show you and he'll show me. But we're sticking with the book. And of course, a few more verses there. Verse 67, then said Jesus unto the 12, will you go away? Will you also go? Then Simon answered, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We believe and assure that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. So Jesus turned to them and said, you know, are you going to go too? As if that was going to stop Jesus and his ministry calling. Well, they've all gone away. What are you going to do now? Your ministry's finished. No, it isn't. No, it isn't. People get up and leave the church. God will bring others in. We trust God. This is not our effort. This is the Spirit of God doing something that only the Spirit of God can do. The trouble with the church as people perceive the church today, it's some religious entity which tells you you must and you shouldn't, you should and you don't. Give that, do this. That's not what the kingdom of God is. The kingdom of God is, are you willing to go out there and reveal my love to a hurting world? Are you willing to trust me in every area of your life? Are you willing to let me be your source and supply? Are you willing to do that? Then if you're willing to do that, you're my church. And you're going to have victory because you're putting your faith in me, not man. No man in this people. Remove me out of it. I'm just the conduit. I'm the teacher. I'm the one that brings the feed to the paddock. Feed and lead. God's sheep. That's what I do. Hallelujah. Now, let's have a look. The dangers of the last days. Go with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3. I want to read from the New Living Translation. And we're going to see it again in this. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Very quickly. Hallelujah. And of course, the Apostle Paul is writing to Timothy, a young pastor, and he says these very important words. And this is as relevant today as it was then. And he says this. New Living Translation. You shall know this, Timothy. You should know this, Timothy, that in the last days there will be very difficult times. Do you reckon that we're now in the last of the last days? If Paul spoke that 2,000 years ago, I reckon we're getting pretty close. Do I know when he's coming back? No, and nor should I, nor do you. But we can discern the time and the season. And Israel is part of that. It's the fig tree. We've got to look at what's happening in Israel, but you've also got to discern what the nations are doing. You've got to have discernment about the hour we're in. Now, this is a late hour, spiritually speaking, but that's okay because the later it is, the closer we go to glory. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Then it says this, for people will love only themselves. Wow, it starts with that. Love's gone cold. Where's the love? There's no God's love in that. People will love only themselves. So it starts there and their money. Ha ha. Isn't that interesting? You love yourself, you're going to be driven by a spirit of mammon. 100%. People that love themselves will always love things. We're not to love things. We're to love God and he'll provide all you need. That's the difference. Man trying to meet his own needs without God. Never worked in Babylon and it won't work now. That spirit's still operating, that spirit of Babylon, man trying to do it his way, fails every time. They'll be boastful, proud, scoffers of God, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful. They will consider nothing sacred. Sounds like today, doesn't it? They'll be unloving, unforgiving. Wow. unloving, unforgiving. They will slander others and have no self-control. They'll be cruel and hate what is good. They'll betray their friends, be reckless, be puffed up with pride, love pleasures rather than God. They will act religious, but they'll reject the power that could make them godly. Stay away from people like that. Now, what he's saying there is, don't get involved with people like that because they'll draw you away, they'll take your heart. Does that mean you don't love them? No, you love them, but you love at a distance. You pray, you intercede, you pray that the Spirit of God will open the hearts up to these people so they can see something. So if you've got a wayward son or daughter or friend or family member and they're on the dark side, they're outside that covering of protection, lift them up in prayer. Get God's ministering spirits to minister to those people and don't hold back for a minute when you bind the devil over them. Take authority over them in Jesus' name. Take authority over the devil and say, devil, you're not touching my family. You're not touching them in Jesus' name. Angels, minister to my children right now in Jesus' name. God, I'm expecting you to do exactly what your word said. Angels are ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those who shall be heirs of salvation. They hearken unto the voice of your word. And that's a secret place, a covering of the Most High God. I'll say of the Lord, you're my refuge, you're my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Then declare Psalm 112. You know, the seed of the righteous shall be mighty upon the earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. Wealth and riches shall be in their house. And their righteousness shall endure forever. That sounds better than they're going to be on the scrap heap of life, doesn't it? What are you declaring? What are you speaking? Are you willing to speak the living word of God over that situation or just rehearse the problem? Don't do it. Speak life, not death, over that situation. It says, stay away from them. Good advice, I would say. Didn't say don't love them. Said, stay away from them. Love at a distance. If people, you know, are troublesome to you and they cause you some grief and upset, it's okay to love at a distance. Why do Christians have a problem with that? No problem with that. You might have to do that sometimes and the Spirit of God will show you what to do. This love, I'm telling you, you follow this love walk and God will fix every issue that exists spiritually. Because your intercession will draw them to the Father. So this is the last days. They're driven by the devil. There's no self-control. They're carnally minded. See, to be carnally minded is death. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. The reason why those end days are like that is because they're driven by another kingdom. It's the kingdom of darkness. And every day there's an opportunity for the devil to speak to them. He will, if they listen to him. But the Bible says that we're to cast down imaginations and hide things that exalt themselves against the knowledge of God. And we're to bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Are we not? Well, if the Word of God says something different to what your thoughts are telling you, you need to change your thoughts. Because when you change your thoughts, you change your words. And when you change your words, your actions change. Because if your thoughts are negative, you're going to speak negative words. But we've got to speak life. He calls record heaven and earth record today against us. There's life or death, there's blessing or cursing. He says, you choose. Choose A, not B. Choose life. Choose blessing. Now, to choose life, you've got to choose the word. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. My words are spirit and their life. If you're going to choose life, you've got to choose the living word of God. You can't just walk and think, oh, this is all going to be good. I don't need the Bible. I'm just going to, you know, just cruise along in life. You're going to be defeated. You know, when I got born again 34 years ago, said yes to Jesus, no one preached the gospel to me. I opened the book up and got saved on it. It's never been the same since. I've never in one day of my life not had a desire for this word because this word's feeding me. Just like I desire natural food to sustain me, I have to have this word. I've got to have it. Not because of a legalistic requirement. If I don't have this word, I am in darkness. I'm telling you people, you've got to have the word of God in your life in this hour more than any other. You know how many people are taking their own lives every day? How many children don't know whether they're a girl or a boy? How many babies will never ever get to live a life because someone decided that you don't need that? It's time for it to go. Now, people make these bad choices. Does God love them? Yes. Will God forgive them? Yes. If they repent, if they come back to Him, He's not condemning anyone. He loves them all, but we've got to tell the world that God loves them. And we've got to tell the world that there's a better way, and the better way is Jesus. And when they get on to Jesus, they won't want to kill the kids. They won't want to say, you know, you need to have a look at, maybe you need to change who you are. You know, that you will confirm their identity through the living Word of God. This is a church that God wants in the earth today, not some lame duck church that's not willing to get up and speak and they affirm what the world affirms. We do that, we end up being the ones where the love of many grows cold. We'll be deceived by the devil, and this is the end of it. It's not going to be that way. We have to rise up. We've got to be strong. We've got to look out for those, you know. The ACT recently passed one of the most, you know, heinous legislations about end of life for old people. Just kill them. That's all right. You know that we're doing them a favor. No, you're not. We're not doing people a favor. If I don't know Jesus, you haven't done them any favor at all. Oh no, just, you know, euthanize them. That's all right, you know, just euthanize them. What? The love of many is going to grow cold. But not the church, if we're willing to do what the Word of God says. Hallelujah. I get passionate about this, as you can tell. All right. And I'll tell you why I get passionate, because God is waiting for His church to get up and do something. He wants us to speak out and say, no, that's not right. No, we can't do that. Because, you know, there are organizations and governments that absolutely believe that trash. Now, you might think, well, gee, you know, you're hard on people. No, I'm hard on the devil. I'm not hard on people. I love people. I don't care what their persuasion is. I love people. But I know what their end of life's going to be if they don't turn to Him, if there's not repentance from the heart and a transformation. It was, oh, you know, it's up to them. It is up to them. Salvation's a choice. But the gospel is a command for us to get it out. Salvation's a choice. It's God's will that all men should be saved and come to the knowledge of truth. Are all men going to be saved? No, they're not going to be saved. There are those who will go to a crisis eternity because they don't believe. It's not because they committed sin. Jesus bore the sin of the world on the cross. They won't believe in Him. If they don't believe in Him, they're gone. For those in this church that don't think that's true, wait till you breathe your last. You breathe your last and you say, well, I don't believe in God. All those, you know, those influences of the world that say there is no God, they'll know a microsecond when they leave their body how wrong they were. A microsecond when they leave their body, they'll realize they're in the realm of the spirit. And it's too late. They can never get back. That's why we have to sow the seed of the kingdom. That's why we preach the gospel. That's why love covers. And that's why God's saying to His church, don't be like the world. And that point He brought out in Matthew 24, don't be troubled. If you get troubled about the events that are happening in the world today, you're going to start listening to the voice of the enemy. Don't be troubled, and don't let the enemy see you shake in fear. Never let him see you in fear. Because you do that, and he'll bring his cohort to make sure that you live in it. Don't let him. You haven't been given a spirit of fear. Is that right? The Bible says it in 2 Timothy 1:7. You have not been given a spirit of fear, but what? Power, love, and a sound mind, which means self-control. We just read there, they've got no self-control. We've got self-control because we've got a sound mind and we've got a spirit of love. Love is the key to everything, everything. You get out of love and it's all over for the Christian. All over. All right. I want to finish. Just go to chapter 4 in 2 Timothy. Going to wind it up this morning with this. Otherwise, I'll just go off into space. And you have to go with me. Hallelujah. 2 Timothy, chapter 4, and verse 1. I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, which shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing and His kingdom, preach the word. So what he's saying to Timothy, he says, I want you to sow the seed of the kingdom. Just keep sowing the seed. In season and out of season. That means whether it's a good time or whether it's a bad time. It doesn't matter. Keep sowing the seed. Whether governments want you to do it or not, whether people you know want you to, just keep sharing the love of God by sowing the seed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you know what? If you have to shake the dust off your feet because people reject you, move on to the next one that will receive it. It's okay. You're not responsible for the choice. Our responsibility is to sow the seed of the kingdom. Amen? We don't save souls. We never have. We never will. Only the Spirit of God can bring the increase on the seed sown. So you sow the seed, they receive it, and they say yes to Jesus, or they say, I don't want to know him. If they walk away, that's between them and God. You get a reward for sowing the seed of the kingdom. Amen? And then we keep reading. He says, whether it's good or not, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. That means and teaching. Teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Isn't that interesting? They won't endure sound doctrine. That means wholesome teaching. There's going to be a time where they're not going to listen to sound teaching because they've been fed with the world's voice. They've listened to the lies of the devil, the prophetic word, you know, the false teacher, the false prophet, you know, the ones that are on the television spruiking their agenda about how man should live his life and why we should not be following, you know, the Christian principles because they're too restrictive, they're not inclusive, and they marginalize. Jesus said, the way is narrow. Did he not? It's a narrow road and few find it. Wide is a road that leads to destruction and many are on it. Christianity is narrow. It is restrictive. Of course it is, because love is going to constrain our living. It constrains us so we don't live like the devil and the world. It's going to be narrow. It's going to be oppressed, but that's okay because the end is a good end for the church. We keep reading. For the time shall come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts or their own desires shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. They want to go from one church to another church to some prophecy. They get on YouTube to listen to someone that will feed their desire. I don't really want to do that, but I want someone to tell me that what I'm doing is okay. What I'm doing is okay. Is it right to live, you know, sinful lives? Well, you know, it's okay. You know, God still loves you. Yes, but sin comes at a cost. The wages of sin is death. Spiritual and physical, for those that don't know Jesus. Sin will always come at a price. I've never once in this church, and we preach the grace of God. I mean, we're the grace place. But I've never once said, you know, you just get out there and sin. It's okay. Grace will cover it. I've never dumbed down the gospel of grace. Grace is not cheap. It cost Jesus everything. Everything. It cost him his last drop of blood. We don't want to go out sinning, but you can't live this life of faith and grace without, if you think that you can live this and not sin without grace, you're going to do it in your flesh. That's why we need the grace of God, because to try and walk this journey of faith without the grace of God, it's impossible. You want to walk in victory over sin? Then let the grace of God minister to you. And do what David said. Follow his instructions. I've hid the word in my heart that I may not sin against you. Psalm 119 verse 11. I've hid your word in my heart. The more you get the word in your heart, the more you're going to walk in victory. That's the answer, people. We're going to finish with this. Hallelujah. And it says this. They're going to, you know, they're going to heap teachers with itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the what? Truth. They're going to turn from the truth and they shall be turned to fables. That means they're going to be turned to falsehoods. They're going to walk away from truth. They're going to listen to error. Like Balaam. Listen to error. You know, he did it because he was a prophet for hire. He wanted money because Balak the king said, I want you to curse Israel. But what I love about that is God said, what I blessed you can't curse. Don't you love that? Well, God has blessed, no one can curse. We're blessed people. You might think, oh, there's a witch coven down the road and they're speaking curses over it. Go to bed and sleep well at night, people. Because if you're the blessed of God, no witch can put a curse on you. That's demonic. That's a lie from the devil. Oh, they're praying against you and you laugh and say, are they really? Well, I'm about to send my Scud missile called angels and I'm going to obliterate them. Spiritually speaking, of course. But that's how you've got to see this. We are the blessed of the Lord. The devil just can't come in and kick your door open and slap your jaws and steal what's yours unless you let him. Are you going to let him?
No.
Well, keep the door closed. Keep the door closed. How do you do that? Keep the love lock engaged. The love lock. Keep it engaged at all times. And we won't be like these people. The love won't grow cold in those last days because it's coming. There's going to be an apostasy. There's going to be a falling away of some believers. Many, it says, many believers. But not us. Because we know the truth. And I tell you what, as long as we stay with God, we're going to walk in it. And I'll just say this final word and we're done. We know the Bible in Matthew talks about, you know, you'll know the false prophet and the false teacher by what? Fruit. Not what they say. Fruit. What's the fruit? So when you listen to the world's voice and someone's up there talking about, you know, the new world order, what is the fruit? Not what they speak. Because you can know them by fruit. We can discern the fruit. We can discern it. We can pick it up. So when you've got someone who's spruiking their agendas, you think, I'm just going to have a look at the fruit that's coming out of your life. Don't be too quick to connect yourself with people who claim to be something, but the fruit doesn't reflect it. I would say keep a distance. From such, keep away. Amen? The love of many will grow cold to those that don't stay with this truth. But not us. We want to follow the truth of God's word and let the love of God keep us in that place of victory continually. And if we do that, we're going to see mighty things happen, not only in the life of the church, but in our lives individually and the lives of those around us because of the people that he brings into our world. Amen?
Amen.
Let's pray.